on tonight. We're doing the first of the book. We're talking about John and his distinct book that he has. I call it distinct because it's different than Matthew, Mark, and Luke. So before we start, let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for this beautiful day that you've given to us, dear Lord. Your sun has been shining so brightly out there outside all day, dear Lord. And we thank you right now that your sun is shining in this place and that his light is coming to us. And dear Lord, as we look at his word and your word, that we might understand what it is you're saying to us and how it applies to us. We can use it in our lives. So just be with us now. Be with those that are with us on Facebook. And dear Lord, just be with those who aren't with us. A special prayer to those who need your care. And thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So I'm going to try and go through this a little bit. Talk about an introduction here a little bit. Kind of the background of the book. And of course, we know John. I said it was a distinct book that he had given to us. There is differences in the way John presents his gospel compared to the other three. In my Bible here, it talks about three factors about John's gospel that it follows incidents in that the other three also do. He discusses the implications of that incident. In other words, when he talked about Jacob's well, he followed that with a discourse about living water. And when he talked about feeding the 5,000, he followed that up with a story about the bread of life. And said the other Gospels use miracles and are normally used to reveal Jesus' power. John uses the miracles as teaching signs and has a message that follows each one. So, we know that John was the son of Zebedee and that he was a wealthy fisherman. Mark tells us that he was a wealthy fisherman. His brother James, of course, James and John were two of the three close disciples of Jesus, along with Peter, of course. And I'm going to look here, and I got a note back in. If you want to turn to Matthew chapter 4, you always hear about the Jesus saying, "I will make you fishers of men." Well, in chapter 4 of Matthew, verses 21 and 22, when Jesus came to them, and in 19 it said, he said unto them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And it said, in going on from there, he saw two other brethren, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them, and they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. So, James and John, let's see, told a little bit about them down in there. It said, fishermen in partnership with their father and also with Simon Peter. So they were all together. And it went on. Is this the spot? I think. No, this is it had told about it went on from there and where he chose their disciples. I guess I'll have that later on. But anyway, but of course, John was close to Jesus. Jesus loved John, and he was his most loved disciple, as we always hear. John was different in a way that he was kind of impatient at times, And he liked to be, he was kind of zealous. Good to have you here tonight. Hello. How are you doing today? Good? Had a busy day probably today. Okay. We're in John. We're starting in chapter 1 of John tonight. We're talking about it a little bit. And we know that John worked with the other disciples, especially Peter in Jerusalem. He lived in Ephesus after 70 A.D. That's where he finally settled down. He wrote this gospel that we read, and he also wrote three epistles. And he did that around 80 A.D. And of course, we know he was exiled to the Isle of Patmos in 94 A.D. Wrote Revelation in 96 A.D. And said he died in 100 A.D. And I think he was the only apostle that died of natural causes. So, tells a little bit about John. His emphasis, I think, was on the deity of our Lord Jesus Christ. Said his purpose in how he wrote it was evangelistic in nature. I had another book I wanted to bring that Barb had got from her grandmother. And it's just basically a paperback on the book of John. And I know that someone gave me one of those, I think when I was in the service. And it just reads like a story. As we go through John, it just reads as good as, better than the others, I think. But it talks about God, and we'll get into that here in a minute. But the three themes that he gives, that John concentrates on, is that Jesus as a man, but also as God. And he talks about development of the belief and the stories and the evidence that is presented. And then he also talks about the development of disbelief in those who reject Christ. So he talks about faith a lot. Some believe, and then of course some don't. So he talks about the faith that people have to believe and the faith that people need to believe. So if we look, we're going to look in verses 1 through 18. It talks about, it's kind of the introduction to Jesus and who he is. And it goes from the pre-creation to the incarnation. Okay? And then what we're going to look at, I guess the whole book goes from chapter 1, verse 19 to chapter 12. It talks about stories of disbelief and belief in teachings and miracles. And then, of course, we start in chapter 13. Actually, it starts in chapter 12 from his death and resurrection story of that. So, as we get into that, we're going to look at John chapter 1 and verse 1. Of course, it describes, let's just go ahead and read chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Okay? The Word is a title for Jesus, of course. But God and Jesus are the Word. God is the Word, and Jesus is the Word. I wrote that down. I wanted to explain that. So we talk about in the beginning. And as I read this, in the beginning is before creation, okay? So we get into that later, but in the beginning was the Word, God, and the Word was with God. Jesus was with God, and the Word was God. And of course we know Jesus, as part of the Trinity, is God, okay? So the Word is a title for Jesus. It's a perfect expression of the mind of God. It's says it's the most important title for Jesus. Of course, you know there are many titles for Jesus, but this word, as you read it, it is talking about Jesus in his, as he gives us inspiration. As Christians need to study the written Word of God to learn more about the incarnate Word of God. Okay? So we learn about God. We know that Jesus is the Word, as it's described there, but we concentrate on the Word as we understand who Jesus is. So in verse 2 it says, the same was in the beginning with God. So that connects Jesus with God and the Word. The way I was studying this, it said, God equals the Word equals Jesus, and of course God and Jesus are together as they created our earth and our whole creation. So we looked at one into verse 3 through 5. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was light, and the light was the light of men. And the light shined in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Okay? So of creation in verse 3. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made. And of course we know of his power to do that, what it would take to speak creation into existence. Okay? We think of the Old Testament, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. He brought life into this world, and says that we see that power and know what it means to us. And talking about the light shining in darkness, and the darkness comprehended at night. That's where my thought went to before creation. Okay, Jesus was the light, and he provided the light that shined in the darkness. And the darkness comprehended it not. The way I read that is, okay, before anything happened, Jesus was there and had was the light of the world. Even though the world didn't exist. But they created that showing the power of God and the power of Jesus. And this scripture right here spoke to him and his power. And in verse 4, it talks about from the divinity to humanity. It says, in him was life, the life was the light of men, and the light shined in darkness, and darkness comprehended it not. Let's see here. It says, I wrote down here, there's three steps there. Jesus is light, bringing God to us. Showing God's light and delivering the light for salvation that delivers to us. And we receive that light and we receive him and we receive our salvation. Okay? Alright, so in looking at verses 6 through 8, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. Okay? So who are we talking about here? John the Baptist, right. And John the Baptist was a prophet, okay? And as I was reading here, it talks about him being a prophet not only to Christians, but also to the Muslim faith. And in Islam, John the Baptist is identified as the prophet Yahya, Y-A-H-Y-A. Okay? He is one of their major prophets I believe there was 12 prophets in Islam, and John the Baptist was one of their prophets. So, said, he came for a witness to bear witness of the light that all men through him might believe. Of course, his witness to the light is referencing his witness to Jesus Christ. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. Okay, so when of course, did we understand when John the Baptist knew Jesus was the light? You remember when that happened? Okay, and even before that, he responded to Jesus when he heard when Elizabeth and Jesus and Mary were together, and he leapt in the womb. You remember that? And that was before Jesus was born. But when Mary spoke, John wept in the womb because of that. So, and I have some information on John the Baptist. Like I said, he was a prophet. One of 25 prophets in the Quran. Okay. And in Luke 1:17, it talks about the power that he had. It says, Jesus said there was no one greater than John the Baptist. He was a Nazarite. He took the Nazarite vow, which meant that he would only eat certain things and not cut his hair. You remember there was another one in the Bible that was Samson? And also Samuel. Those were the three in the Bible that took the Nazarite vow. Okay? He knew Jesus before he was born. John was filled with the Holy Spirit before Jesus was born. Because I think that because when he responded to that, he was understanding who he was. So when we understand who Jesus is, we receive the Holy Spirit. So, and of course, in John the Baptist's life, when he had many followers. He was a major prophet. Many followers that listened to him and followed him. And, of course, later on turned to Jesus. And one story, of course, is when he was arrested and killed, said speaking the truth got John the Baptist killed. Herod Antipas had married his brother's wife, and John the Baptist spoke out against that, got into trouble and was arrested. And then, of course, we remember how the story went with Herod's wife tricked him when he said, you can have anything. And she said, I want the head of John the Baptist. Okay? And as I was reading and studying this, it said that John the Baptist's head is claimed to be located in four different locations. One in Syria, of course, these were all in Syria at a temple, and in Germany, and in France, and there was also another place called Capite, C-A-P-I-T-E, that I never didn't find out where that was from, so where that location was. So, but anyway, just a little bit about John the Baptist, and like you say, we know that he had many followers. He baptized many with water, and of course he said that Jesus would come and baptize with the Spirit. But he introduced Jesus to the world, and so his followers, of course, like I said, turned to Jesus probably before his death, but definitely after his death. Okay, looking at verse 9 through 11, talking about Jesus, that was the true light, which lights every man that comes into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came into his own, and his own received him not. Okay? He was the true light. As it said in verse 5, the light that shines in the darkness, the darkness comprehended it not. So we have to understand, I know for a long time I didn't understand that Jesus was here at creation. Okay, that came to me later in life after studying John and understanding that he was with God. I mean, he is getting God of the same. So, but Jesus was the true light. He brought the truth into the world, and of course we know the world rejected him. That the Jews would not accept him as the Messiah. Okay? And Jesus gave a picture of the beginning to the end of John's life, of Jesus' life. So, he came into his own, and his own received him not. We're talking about the Jews. Okay? Verse 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Well, this is the gospel message that we understand. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And that is our message, to believe on him. Some will accept him and others will reject him. But the verse 14 kind of gives the final introduction of Jesus as coming into the world. In verse 14 it said, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." So there we understand that Jesus was the Word. The Word was made flesh. It dwelt among us. And down here at the bottom, it says a note, in the incarnation refers here to the miracle of God the Son becoming human. Okay? To deny either the deity or humanity of Christ is to deny the very nature of God-man. Okay? And when we talk about him dwelling among us, in the Old Testament, when they built the tabernacle, that's where God dwelt in the ark, in the Ark of the Covenant. He dwelt in the ark, and that was in that tabernacle. So it says, John uses the word tabernacled, which means dwelt, okay? Beheld his glory. Okay? So we understand who Jesus is, knowing that he was here at the creation, and that John the Baptist came to introduce him to the world. Well, and it says here in verse 15 that John bore witness of him and cried, saying, "This was he of whom I spoke. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me." Okay? Of course, relating that Jesus is eternal from creation, that he is preeminent in his position. And, of course, when he says that this was he of whom I spoke, that he came after me, he was born after me, okay? But it was before me in his own creation, okay? And he talked about God. This is basically, like I said, he was God, but he was also man. Okay, in verse 16 it said, "And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace." You know how much grace it took for God to send his Son into the world to be the Lamb that was slain for our salvation. And when we think of the grace and truth that came by Jesus Christ, I had a reference to that, and we know that we receive grace from God, okay? It's just like oxygen. We can't breathe in enough to exhaust the supply of oxygen in the world, right? Well, the amount of grace that God is giving us is more than we could ever deserve or ever hope to understand. Okay? Said in verse 17, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Well, Moses received the law, which contained the promise of grace. And that it would come in the future. This grace and truth would come in the future. The law contained the promises, but Jesus is the promise. Okay? Just like you go on Amazon, we're talking about ordering something on the computer. You go on Amazon and you see an item, okay, and you order it, but then it comes to your door. And it's kind of the way that we read this here. The law that Moses saw, that when Jesus was born and came in this world, it was delivered to us, okay? And verse 18, it says, no man has seen God at any time, only the begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. So, we know that Moses, we know that God is a spirit, right? No one has seen God. We know that Moses saw the burning bush, and that God spoke to him and told him that I am. Well, in Jesus, we see God. Jesus brings God's message to us. So, as we understand this, John has experienced God. He saw the Word, the truth, and the light. He was with him. He was part of his ministry. He understood what the Word was, what the truth was, what the light was. He related how Jesus was rejected, and we understand that when John is teaching this, as we go through this book of John, we're going to be seeing the teachings and the miracles as we go through here, the eyewitnesses that understood that story. Parts of the book of John will talk about the presence of Jesus as God and man, and like I said before, the reactions of belief to him and the reactions of disbelief. Okay? We'll see this as we move through this book. So, as we look on here, it's talking about the testimony of John the Baptist in verse 19. And this is the record of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who art thou? Okay? And he confessed, and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, what then? Art thou Elijah? And he said, I am not. Art thou that prophet? And he answered, no. According to Elijah. And they said unto him, who art thou? And that we may give an answer to them that sent us, and what sayest thou of thyself? Well, the priests and the Levites, of course, were looking for the Messiah, right? And if we look in the last book of the Old Testament, I want you to turn back to Malachi right before Matthew. In Malachi verse 4, which is the last book of the Old Testament, it talks about Malachi gave a message that Elijah would be returning. In chapter 4, verses 4 and 5 of Malachi, it says, behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Well, Malachi in the Old Testament gave them, and that's all they had then. They had the Old Testament as their the only way they understood when the Messiah would come. So they were referring to this, wondering if John the Baptist was this Elijah who was coming back. And see. It references that. You see here in 23. John said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord." And he said that coming from the book of Isaiah. And that's in Isaiah chapter 40. And I'm gonna turn back to Isaiah chapter 40 and read that. Of him that cries in the wilderness, verse 3 of chapter 40, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. The voice said, "Cry," and he said, "What shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the godliness thereof is the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withers, and the flower fades, and the word of our God shall stand forever. O Zion that brings good tidings, get thee up into the high mountains, O Jerusalem, that brings good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God will come, his strong hand and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, shall gently lead those that are with young." Okay? So we're talking about Jesus here. This was Isaiah speaking that he would be coming and that John would come to prepare a way for you, a voice in the wilderness. Talking about in verse 23 there, John said, "I am just a voice of one crying in the wilderness, but you need to make way for Jesus, the Lord," that was spoken about in Isaiah. Okay, so we read, as they were sent, the Pharisees came. Of course, this I guess would be the first time that they were trying to understand who Jesus was. And with the reference to Isaiah, to Malachi, they should have, even at the beginning of the ministry, understood who Jesus was, but they didn't, of course. Okay? If you look at verse 25, "And they asked him and said to him, Why baptize you then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elijah, neither that prophet? John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there stands one among you whom ye know not." Thank you. He is who's coming after me, is preferred before me, whose shoe latch I am not worthy to unloose. And these things were done in Bethabara, beyond Jordan, where John was baptized. Here that the baptism could only be performed by prophets back then in those times, and it was also a rite of the Gentiles before their entrance into Judaism, where they become a Jew, and how that happened. So this baptism, of course, we think of baptizing and believing who Jesus is and receiving him in your life, baptized into the faith in Him and living your life as a believer and a follower of Jesus. Well, baptism, of course, was before that, and that was part of their faith to receive God's Spirit. Okay? We're talking about in verse 29, and the next day John seen Jesus coming into him. As Teresa was saying, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world." Well, John knew that Jesus was the Lamb of God. Okay? Probably did not understand that Jesus came to be the sacrificial Lamb of God, but he described him as the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. And if you look at that thinking that's the first description of exactly who Jesus is, we should understand that. Of course, we have everything we need to do to understand who Jesus is. But this part right here where John the Baptist was introducing him to the world and showing that he was the sacrificial lamb for the sin offering of the world, as it says there, take away the sin of the world. In verse 30 it says, "This is he whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me, and I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water." And John bore record, saying, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said to me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. And I saw," John said, "I saw and bore record that this is the Son of God." So, that is what I read, that he didn't understand that he was the Son of God until he saw the Holy Spirit come down upon him. Well, yes, well, like you say, he didn't understand. He knew he was, it said that John received the Holy Spirit when he saw, when he heard of Jesus, and he probably understood that he was given of God, okay, but to be the Son of God, I did read that the, when the Holy Spirit came down, let's see, I think it's right here in the notes, it says, it's exactly what it says, "The baptism of Jesus serves as a proof of his deity to John. The Holy Spirit came on Jesus and remained to assist in his baptismal work. Before Jesus' baptism, John knew him only as a good cousin, not as the Lamb of God. Not until he saw the Holy Spirit descending on Jesus did John realize that he was the Son of God." So, yeah, I know I've read that. I wondered if I had that marked down here to read. But, and like you said, he knew that there was something special there. And he was even introducing him as one that was going to come who will baptize with the Spirit. So, but he didn't really, and you think about that. The apostles didn't understand it. They were with him for 3 years, right? It took them a long time to understand who Jesus really was. And I think John knew that, but he didn't really understand it until he saw that that Holy Spirit come down from him. Okay? So from there, in verse 30 it says, "This is he whom I said, after me comes a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me." Okay. So did I read that? Yeah, I read that. Okay. I just read that. So anyway, so John bore the record of that, saying the Spirit descended on him, and that's like we like to say, he understood that he was the Son of God. Okay? So that was the introduction of Jesus to the world, basically, the beginning of his ministry. All right? From this part on, we talk about him starting finding his disciples. And where was I reading that? I was talking about this story in John about him being baptized and then finding his disciples within like a week period. Okay? So a lot of things were happening right here. Okay? And as we look at, as we understand everything that happened with John the Baptist, who John the Baptist was, and then we find that Jesus, from that point, began his ministry, and it says on verse 35, again the next day, after John stood and two of his disciples and looked upon Jesus as he walked, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God." Now we're talking about a different John here now, right? We're talking about John the Apostle. The two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. And Jesus turned and saw them following, and said unto them, "What seek ye?" And they said unto him, "Rabbi," which is to say, being interpreted, "Master, where do you dwell?" And he said unto them, "Come and see." And they came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon, and said unto him, "We have found the Messiah," which is being interpreted, the Christ. Okay? And in the Old Testament, the men of God were called for special service, were initiated into three offices. They were anointed, okay? They were anointed to serve God. See here, and this is like Moses. Jesus declared him a complete revelation of the Father. He was faithful to God. Then Jesus came to bring the world back to God, I guess is the best way I want to put that. But in verse 40, it's talking about Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He's a native of Bethsaida, and they were on the shore of the Sea of Galilee. During the ministry of Christ, he, like his brother Simon Peter, worked as fishermen out of Capernaum. Okay? They worked as partners with James and John, the sons of Zebedee. And as we talked about before, John and James' brother Zebedee, or father Zebedee, owned the boat, and they worked with him. Okay, Andrew is best known for his ministry in bringing men to Christ. When John the Baptist first proclaimed Jesus to be the Son of God, Andrew left John and at once found Simon, and then followed Jesus. So Andrew was following John the Baptist, and then he started following Jesus after John declared him to be the Son of God. Okay? It says, Jesus sought Andrew and Philip and arranged a meeting, and Andrew was present on the day of Pentecost, later on, of course, and involved in the ministry of the early church after Jesus went to heaven. Okay, and then it talks about Nathanael being the disciple who is called Bartholomew elsewhere in the Gospels. And I guess I'm going to get ahead of myself a little bit here. We look at verse 42, and he brought him to Jesus. He brought Simon Peter to Jesus, and when Jesus beheld him, he said, "Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas," which is by interpretation a stone. And this, of course, is where we may learn of Peter as being the rock, okay? And as he is the foundation of the Christian faith and one of the disciples of the Catholic faith, of course, which is much revered. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and find Philip and say unto him, "Follow me." Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. They were all coming from the same location here. And Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him, the Messiah, of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Verse 46 said, "Nathanael said unto him, Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? And Philip said unto him, Come and see." Well, of course, we know of the talking about nothing good can come from Nazareth. And this is this place where Philip said to Nathanael, or Nathanael said to Philip, "Come and see him, come and see." So Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and said to him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no God." Okay? And we know that a little bit, that Philip was one that was under the fig tree when he saw it. Okay? And this is probably a different fig tree that we learn about later on when we talk about the fig tree. But Nathanael answered and said unto him, "Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel." Now, why did he understand this? But I think it was because of what John the Baptist was telling everybody. Okay? Everybody revered John the Baptist. He had many, as a prophet, he was a prophet. He had many followers. He did a lot of teaching of the coming of the Messiah. And I think they got this message from him. He says, "Jesus answered and said to him, Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under a fig tree, believe thou, and thou shalt see greater things than these." Okay? So, talking about Philip believing in Jesus because Jesus told him, "I saw thee under a fig tree." And he said to him, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven opened, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." Okay? So, we have to understand here that, there's different times in the Bible where people saw angels coming from heaven. Of course, Jacob saw the angels coming up and down the ladder, and that was his belief. And then the disciples saw this prophecy being fulfilled. In this passage, it says the angels were ascending first and then descending, perhaps a reference to prayers sent heavenward and then answered. Jesus is presented as the stair between heaven and earth. Right. So, as we think of this first chapter of John, as we look at it and understand that it is Jesus being introduced, Jesus starting his ministry, Jesus finding his disciples, and we think, and like I said, that all happened rather quickly, and once he was baptized, Jesus began his preaching ministry. Okay, and then of course, as we get into chapter 2, he begins his miracles, and we will move on through here, probably through John, for a while here, and see a little bit more about what Jesus. I think that's what we're going to go into next week. But we will look at that and find out Jesus as Son of Man as it did in ascending upon the Son of Man. God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. John, as I said before, his book reads like, I don't know, I want to say a novel, but it reads very easily as it flows from through the life of Jesus and through his teachings and what it shows of his life and ministry. So we'll get into that a little bit more as we move on to the coming weeks here and talk a little more about that. Anybody have any questions? Kind of what I had for tonight. Didn't know if we'd get into the disciples there, but that began and he chose his disciples. He was choosing men who were going to be his apostles, his teachers with him to share the word, to bring it to the Jews and also, as we knew later, the Gentiles. So, anybody have any thoughts you'd like to present? Okay. Well, like I say, we'll get into a little bit more next week and talking about Jesus' ministry. So let's close with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for this book, dear Lord, and along with all of the Gospels that tell about your life and your coming into this world as a little baby, dear Lord. Luke tells us that you were born in a manger, that the angels came and announced your birth. John says it a little bit more differently, dear Father, that you were there in the beginning and now you are here with us. You came down to this world and you came to be the sacrificial lamb, the Lamb of God, that would bring to us the salvation of from the sin of this world and the sin in our lives. So we thank you so much for that. We thank you that we have that message to read and believe and to follow. Dear Lord, bless us all. We thank you so much for this time together. In Jesus' name, amen. So looking, I'm going to go to a prayer list here. Of course, Lim made it home around 4:30.